This is episode 157 of Extraordinary Women Radio. Welcome to Extraordinary Women Radio. I am your host, Cami Gellner. Women are being called to lead with voice, vitality, and vigor. Each week, join me for wisdom-filled interviews with extraordinary women living out loud and making a difference in our world. Their stories will uplift, inspire, and spark your own purpose-driven journey. Hello, my extraordinary women friends. I hope you are safe, well, and healthy as things are starting to open back up. Me, I'm continuing to stay close to home as it's a simple thing for me and my hubby to do. My business is mostly online and my Extraordinary Women Connect community is alive and thriving. This past month, I shifted my Extraordinary Women Connect Gala, normally a live event, to a virtual event. It was great because this quarterly event not only had the largest attendance ever, we drew in women from around the world instead of just from a local community. It was a lot of fun. Technology really helped us play together and connect together in new ways, and it was a blast. I'm also looking how we can apply technology to other events later this year. My team and I have been strategizing on my 6th annual November Extraordinary Women Ignite 3-day conference, where we raise up women's voices and businesses every year. Our keynotes include Brian Kramer, who is the founder of the H2H movement, that's human to human. And Brian is named by Forbes as one of the top 3 thought leader keynotes you need to see this year. And the second keynote is Rika Zimmerman, the founder and CEO of Life Transform University, a $10 million company that Rika has worked around the world with 150,000 people in her work. She has shared stages with the likes of Wayne Dyer, Michael Beckwith, Marianne Williamson, and many other notable wisdom keepers. I'm super excited about this lineup. And to address this year's unpredictable times, we'll offer both a live event in Golden, Colorado, as well as an option to attend via live stream. Details are on my website at camigellner.com, so jump out there and check it out. This is the world we live in now. Listening to our communities to hear what they want, making adjustments, and in some of the adjustments, we can really step into more expansive spaces, right? I mean, it's like sometimes that shift from one thing to another will open it up to more people. That's the expansiveness of it. I hope you are finding the expansion in your journey as well. Today, I'm thrilled to introduce you to Karen Yankovich, and she's feeling the expansion also. Karen is the CEO of Uplevel Media, and her business is rocking right now. She's an internationally recognized LinkedIn expert and consultant helping businesses profit in LinkedIn strategies, and is the host of the popular podcast, Good Girls Get Rich. It was fun. I got to join her on her podcast just a few weeks ago. Today, I am thrilled to introduce you to Karen Yankovich. Well, welcome to Extraordinary Women Radio, Karen. It is so great to have you join us today.
Oh, it's so great to be here, Cami. Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, and thanks for having me on your podcast. That was a lot of fun as well.
Yeah, it was great to talk. It was great to chat.
Yeah, it's fun to switch back and forth like this. And I wanted to just quickly do a story of how we met. We both are part of a group called She Podcast. And there was a big conversation that was going on. And we found a way to connect there.
Exactly. And that's like the heart of everything I do, right? These big groups that we're a part of, sometimes we get lost in the group, but it's really about how do you meet up with people personally? And, you know, who are the right people that could, you know, take you down the road? And I will tell you, I don't know that I've ever just had a, I'll have you on my podcast, you have me on your podcast kind of thing. I don't typically do that.
Right.
And I'm telling you that only because, you know, it really was when you connect with the right people and people that you feel like are on the right messages, you know, similar messages, that's how this moves forward. That's how your business moves forward and your life moves forward, I think, profitably.
I totally agree. And I think I just felt like it was just, and I think both of us had the same idea at the same time. And it was like, well, that just makes so much sense. And it's the connections that we know in our gut that are the right ones to, you know, really build into.
Yep. And it's the authentic connections,
right?
Like we authentically connected and on a, you know, on a topic that you know, that was a relational, right? Relationship, right. Building, not just, hey, let me tell you about what I do.
Yes. And it was, I love that you just described it that way, because you've seen the other side. And I mean, there's so many bad examples of that out on the social channels of the poorly done, you know, the pitches, the outreaches, it's really just finding ways that you are aligned with another person and building from that space.
Yep. Yep.
So first of all, let's just talk about how are you doing through these times right now?
You know what? Thankfully I'm healthy and my family's healthy. So, you know, that's priority number one. It is a little bit odd to be doing all this social distancing and not being able to, you know, see and hug my family, but you know, we did a virtual Mother's Day, you know, Zoom call. But you know, it was kind of fun. And the priority is that everybody's healthy. Right. So number one, there's that. And number two, you know what? My business is thriving, and it's thriving because, you know, I'm continuing to build these same kinds of authentic relationships. And I know that there's some businesses out there that are not. So I certainly respect that. And I'm not, you know, I know it doesn't work for every single business, but I do think that there are opportunities to thrive in these crazy times that we're thrown into. I'm lucky that my business is in a position to do that. And I'm lucky that I support other people and doing the same thing.
And you know what I think is, because I feel very fortunate the same way, is I feel like my business is doing really well through this. And I think it's because we've built communities, right? We have built communities of people, and we've done the work to have, you know, to have that credibility under our belt. But it's also, the community is so important right now. What are you doing right now to, you know, just show up differently for your clients and your community through these times, that, you know, how are you showing up differently to really support them?
That's a really good question. You know, I think that the place that I support people right now that is most important is how they show up. And that they show up, but also how they show up, because we're not walking into a networking meeting anymore. We're not walking into conferences right now. We're not meeting people in person. So that first impression is often online. And, you know, we have control over that. And that is a big part of what I teach and what I do. So I've really been leaning into that and supporting people wherever I can. In helping them understand that they can control that. And once they control that, they show up differently. And, you know, Cammie, this is what you and I, you know, yes, we understand the online community and we've built that. But I think the other thing that you do well and that I hopefully try to do well is showing up as a leader and showing up as an influencer. And all that really means is, you know, like the fact that you have a podcast and I have a podcast, that right there, that positions us with some level of influence. But we've completely created that, right?
Right.
It's other people can do the same thing. It doesn't have to be a podcast, but whatever it is that you do well, it's really about kind of showing up as a leader and positioning yourself. And you can show up as a leader if you were, you know, voted as the president of your PTA, right? Because that means people have had confidence in you. Right. And that's really what I want people to, that's what I'm helping people with right now. How do you show up and really let the rest of the world know digitally, like, what does your digital footprint look like? What does your digital front door look like? And what happens when people throw your name in a search? Because you can control that. And I think that's really what I'm doing right now. I'm talking a lot about that. How do you control that? And how do you show up in a way that people feel confident in taking that next step with you? Because that's all we really have right now is our digital footprint, our digital face.
Right. And I think, when we think about marketing through these times, I mean, this is kind of the area that connected us to begin with. This is how you show up as we market in this time. And yes, it's about the community. It's about the helping people build their voice and put their voice out into the world that is going to help others make the impact that they want to make. And then you've also seen, I mean, I've seen that, right? And I love that. I love that, you know, how are you showing up in your communities, supporting your communities, helping them keep moving and growing and expanding through this time. And then we've also seen this other arm that is, that's filled with fear. It's filled with, you know, your business, you know, if you don't act now, your business is going to fail. And, you know, that sort of approach. And I think that, there's an element of being able to show up in our businesses and really be authentic into who we are and sensitive to the times that we're in, but also really enabling people versus scaring people. And also doing, you know, really creating a way to serve our clients that is taking into consideration all of the landscape of today.
Yeah, I agree. And it's easy for us to sit here and say, now's a great time to create a great brand for yourself. And now's a great time to build connections and build community. But I, as I say that, I recognize that it's, you know, what was a roller coaster a couple of months ago, which was a roller coaster of, you know, maybe hours. Your emotions were an emotional roller coaster over days. It's now hours, you know, because we've never experienced this before. And there's many people that are struggling emotionally with this. And I'm sure I'm on that. You know, I'm sure I will look back at this time and think, the heck, you know? So how could you not be struggling with something we've never been through before? So I recognize that and giving yourself, you know, like I taught I have a group program and we had a group call this morning. And as I was explaining my process right now, I said, and by the way, I'm looking at a pile of things that I should have done yesterday. So just because I'm saying I do these, you know, I stay on top of these things doesn't mean it's happening, you know, on the day that I do it. You've got to give yourself a little bit of a break, you know, set the plan, create a plan for yourself, but then cut yourself a little bit of a break because, you know, the times we're going through right now are just unprecedented and self-care, I think, is key as well.
I so agree with that. And it's interesting. I created with my group a Marco Polo room that was really set up to just give them another avenue that they could lean into each other, right? Because I think this is part of this, you know, once we're social distancing, there's this still this desire to be connected, right? So how can we connect in a, you know, in a more frequent way, in a different kind of way at times when you need it? And that's what that Marco Polo room really gave that group of people. And they supported each other. And, you know, early on through this, there was so much activity. And now they're really in a, I think what's showing up now is much more in a, okay, we've got this. We're moving through this, and certainly there's days that you know, someone might come on and say, "Gosh, today is the day that I'm not moving." And I certainly have had those myself. However, the frequency of that type of an outreach is different now. And now, what I'm seeing the shift amongst the group, because they have leaned into each other, because they've given each other strength, there is much more forward motion and, you know, stepping up into, you know, one of them started a podcast. One of them has, you know, built new programs. I mean, so they're really stepping into their communities, and that's exciting to me.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I love that. I love that. And that, because we need that now, right? We need whatever connection we can get. And I think it's less, for me anyway, it's less about the noise and the number of followers and more about actually getting to know people better and supporting people, because it feels just as good to support other people as it does to be supported.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think at this point, we all need it right now. One of the things that you say, and I just absolutely love this, you said that social media is the gateway to personal relationships. And it's such a powerful place for connection and community. I mean, this is what we're talking about, right? It's you're building this, what I call the no love and trust factor. Talk to us more. Yeah, and you said before we jumped on in the green room, you said, you know, it's not just about community, it's about the connection. Tell us more about that.
Yeah. So I love social media. You know, I think it's giving us access to people that I couldn't dream of 20 years ago. I mean, I've been in business a long time, and, you know, I would never have imagined that I could go straight to the top. You know, I grew up in the sales world where you had to get past the gatekeeper, and right, all the sales training was how to get past the gatekeeper. Well, now we don't have to do that anymore. We can go straight to the people we want to meet, as long as we look worthy of it, right? And that's where that digital footprint's important. So as much as I love, you know, like if you're following me on Twitter, I have tons of Twitter followers, and I love Twitter for conversation and for what its purpose is. And I love Instagram. I struggle a little bit with it because I don't have the visual eye that a lot of people have. So I need to, you know, so I struggle a little bit with where I want to use it, but I do love it. And, you know, and Facebook is a great place to, you know, just have conversations. But for me, I love to lean into LinkedIn because it's away from all the noise. I think a lot of those other platforms, there's just a lot of noise. And right. There's a place for it, I've 100% built relationships and gotten clients on Twitter, but Twitter is a lot of noise, right? And it's shifted a little bit too, and my strategy shifting with it. And you know, same with now we've got stories everywhere. Now we're supposed to post 3-4 times a day on Facebook and Instagram and stories, and LinkedIn's talking about doing stories, and I don't know how I feel about that. To me, it's you know, at the end of the day, when I ask people, what has built your career the most, the best? Where do you get most of your clients? Where do you get most of your business? Where have you gotten most of the jobs? Almost every single person I speak to says referrals. Right. And that is person to person connecting, right?
Right.
So therefore, that's why I love LinkedIn, because it isn't about the noise of Twitter or the activity of Facebook and all of that other stuff. It's about the connections. It's about talking to people one-on-one. It's about building a relationship with people and not pitching them and saying, hey, let's connect on LinkedIn because I think you're going to love what I sell. It's legitimately about looking to see who you think could be the most valuable people in your industry or that can bring the most value to your business. And by the way, that's very rarely a client. Often it's this, like you and I meeting, Cammie, and where we realize that we have audiences that overlap.
Right.
And me being able to introduce you to my audience and you being able to introduce me to your audience, it's that relationship that brings the most value to my business. And those are the kinds of relationships I like to build on LinkedIn. You know, another type of connecting that I love to do, again, using LinkedIn more than other platforms, is with the press and with the media. Who writes about the kinds of things you're interested in or that you're expert in? And are you building relationships with those people one at a time? Not, you know, by pitching and being, you know, crazy, but just by saying, you know, hey, you just wrote this article and I loved this article and I've shared it all over the place and I'm tagging you and thank you so much for doing all this research. Who doesn't want to get a connection request like that, right?
Right. Just as a tactic thing on mm-hmm. As far as LinkedIn, are you using hashtags to kind of track those and find those? Tell us a little bit more about that. I have some clients who LinkedIn truly is their number one platform. And so any tips you have on that would be awesome.
Yeah. Well, listen, hashtags. So there's two sides of this, right? There's three pieces to it. Well, there's probably more than three. So there's the profile. You have to look worthy of their time. You've got to do the work to position yourself as somebody that they would want to have in their network. And that's on you. Mm-hmm. And then there's the building out your network piece, right? Before you get to the hashtags, you have to have the people in your network that you want to put that content in front of. So you probably already have a lot of these people, right? So who's in your existing network that it's time to reach back out to and in a very micro-targeted way and say, right. You know, we've been connected for a couple of years and we never really made time to get to know each other. And now I'm just diving deeper into my LinkedIn network and it looks like you're doing some really cool things. So
I love that.
Using LinkedIn to get on the phone, right?
Right. I totally love that because I think that's one, I mean, you just think about how many people are in our communities already that we don't connect with on a regular basis. So that's a brilliant one.
And not everyone can be like, go cherry pick, mm-hmm. right? Go through your network and see who are the people that you think could bring the most value to you, your business and your life. Mm-hmm. And then at the same time, build your network full of some new people like that. And once you've got that going, then yes, you want to put content out there and you want to use hashtags and you want to use video and all different types of different kinds of content and be checking your analytics to see what's landing with your people the most. But before you can start using these tools, you need to be building a network full of people you want to get that content in front of. And hashtags will get your content in front of people that maybe you're not connected with now. So there's some cool ways to use hashtags for that. But that is, and by the way, as your influence grows, you're going to get a lot more connection requests from people you don't know. And that is the beauty of digital marketing, right? Just like when people follow you on Twitter and follow you on Instagram and you don't know who they are, that's going to happen on LinkedIn. And that means your digital marketing works, mm-hmm. right? So yes, use hashtags to bring more people into your world on LinkedIn. And yes, understand that you will be getting more connection requests from these people. But that,
how do
the
you
first
follow up?
This is building how relationships.
So when you're getting connections, requests for a connection to you, and they look interesting. How do you take that conversation deeper? Do you do it with every single person? Or are you really more selective in how you grow that?
So I might answer that both. Mm-hmm. I look at every single connection request. And frankly, if you've sent me a connection request, I feel like you've started that conversation and I get to pick up that ball and say, cool, let's get on the phone. Like, I don't want to send you BS. Hey, here's an article you might be interested in. And like, I don't want to be building fake relationships. Right. But if you've reached out to me initially, you've opened that door and I will check everyone out. I look at, and by the way, this is why if you're listening to this and you want to connect with me, I'd love that, but it may take me a while to get to your connection request because I do look at every single one of them mm-hmm. and I do respond. And, depending on, in some cases, how busy I am, but also depending on how, what I think of that connection request, do I think that there's audiences that we might have in common?
Right.
I will follow up with, tell me how I can support you. Or, looks like we've got audiences in common. I'd love to, are you up for a quick conversation to see how we can best support each other? I might go right to the phone call on that second message.
Okay.
Because I don't know that I'm not really interested in building like fake rapport.
Right. Right. Exactly. I mean, it just even takes me, I've been married for 8 years at this point, but I would go back to my years of being in online dating. It was like, I didn't want to go through months of online dating, right? I wanted to, either I wanted to know that person or I didn't want to know that person.
Exactly.
So I think that's a great perspective. One more thing on LinkedIn. And just because I have my own LinkedIn request in to get a LinkedIn Live account, any tips on getting those, on landing those?
Oh, I wish I could say yes to that. I don't know what the requirements are. I know that they're still approving people. I don't really have any tips on it. I will say that you'll get denied. I would apply again and again and again and again.
Okay.
And you might, one of the things it asks for in the LinkedIn Live application is send us a link to a live that you've done somewhere else. So you might want to do an epic Facebook Live. Like not a long one, but an epic one where you're tagging people and you know what I mean? And you're providing huge amount of value and you might, you might even want to boost it, get some real engagement on that. And that's what I would send to LinkedIn. So you might want to, if you really want to get LinkedIn Live, and by the way, you do really want to get LinkedIn Live. You might want to build, you might want to, take some time to create an epic Facebook Live so that you can send them to that. And it's going to show that you have an audience that engages and that, you really drop value bombs. And don't be teaching LinkedIn on that. They are not, I'm surprised I got it because they are not looking for you to use LinkedIn Live to teach LinkedIn marketing.
Right. They're looking for different types of content.
Exactly.
Okay. Well, cool. So I want to talk more about this in this influence that you talk about. I think you and I talk a lot about that in our work with our clients and creating influence, creating that brand that people know you for, that if the whole world could hear one message from you. I mean, those are some of the things I work with my clients on. What tips do you take your clients through in really building this credible brand and showing up who they are, and really building that, that so they do look worthy when somebody takes a look and says, okay, who is this person? Tell us more about that.
Yeah. So, it's a little self-serving because we do write LinkedIn profiles here, but I often say to people, nobody should write their own LinkedIn profile, even if you swap with other people to do it, because it's hard to position yourself the way you want to be seen. It's hard to say, especially for women, it's hard to talk about yourself in a way that really positions you as an influencer. We say things like, I got you covered, I got this. And you need to say, nobody does this better than me. If you're not like a little nauseous when you click send, like, can I really say this about myself? Then you probably haven't gone too far enough in telling people how great you are.
This is so funny. Here's a side note for you, because yeah. My business coach told me early this year, you need to change how you describe yourself on LinkedIn because you're not owning your credibility. And I have not done it yet. So guess what, Karen? You know,
that's why I said nobody should do this on their own. Everybody should have, because this is what I do, right? I know this is what happens no matter how confident and strong you are in what you do. First of all, I don't know about you, but I'm not necessarily a writer to begin with. So the thought of writing my own LinkedIn profile, like that's the last thing on everyone's list. As a matter of fact, when I speak on LinkedIn, I've had some, I'm not going to say heated conversations, but I stick to my guns with this when people hire me to speak. And I say, if I don't tell people why they need to do this, they're not going to do it, because everyone has update their LinkedIn profile on their to-do list. And if I just say, here's all the things you need to do, they're going to just stay on their to-do list. I need to inspire them as to why they need to do it. Mm. And sometimes people are like, well, they wouldn't be here if they didn't want to know this stuff. I'm like, yeah, they would, because they're going to take a lot of notes and they're going to walk out the door and it's not going to get done. So here's the thing that I'm going to tell you. If you throw your name in a Google search, it's going to come up, your LinkedIn profile is going to come up pretty high. Mm-hmm. And LinkedIn is the number one content hub on the internet, the number one content hub. So putting your content on there in long form posts and in, you know, anywhere you can gets you more SEO juice. So I don't want you to, like I've already said earlier in this, like, the number one way people get clients often is referrals. Referrals are not repeatable. Okay. I want you to have an outreach plan. I don't want you to just sit back and wait for clients. That being said, I also want you to do everything you can to get as much of that inbound as possible. And it comes down to positioning yourself like you're worthy of it. And that is not easy to do for yourself, but it also comes down to keywords. What are people searching for on LinkedIn that you want to come up in the search result? And if I do this, right, like when somebody goes to LinkedIn to look for a LinkedIn keynote speaker, it's hard for me to come up because every one of my competitors knows how to do this, right? But if you are a money mindset coach, chances are your competitors don't know how to do this, right? If you're a realtor in a certain area. So if you're using these keywords and somebody goes into LinkedIn, you can own that. Nice. If you use these keywords appropriately. And what you can do right now, and this everybody has this, everybody has a LinkedIn dashboard. When you're looking at your profile itself, not the home button, but your actual profile, there's a section that says your dashboard. And the only person that can see that is you. And in that dashboard, it tells you all the way to, there's three things, but I'm just want to talk about the one on the right. All the way to the right, it says how many times you've come up in search results in the past week. Mm-hmm. Okay. So chances are very often when I talk to people, they have a low number there, maybe 15 or 50 or 75. I have 1,000. I have between 1,000 and 2,000. I don't spend a lot of time on LinkedIn. Let's just be clear. I don't want you to spend a lot of time on LinkedIn, but when you do it intentionally and you're having conversations, I have more traffic going, finding me on LinkedIn than I do my website.
Wow. That's awesome.
And another little tip, if you click that number, if you have, I'm going to use the number 100. If you have at least 100 times that you've come up in search results, because LinkedIn has to have some juice, right, to give you more information, it will actually tell you where your searchers work, what your searchers do, and what keywords you're coming up for.
Right.
So you can't micromanage it, but you can affect it and you can drive more traffic for the kinds of things you want to come up for. So like this is how you get found and how you show up as an influencer. Because when people are searching for these kinds of things and you show up and your profile, like no one's going to look at your profile and think, I think she's better than she says she is, right? Mm-hmm. Like who's going to do that?
Right.
You've got to do that work. So between writing the great profile and then using keywords so that you can be found more, these are the things that help you be found for the right kinds of things by the right kind of people and really help you elevate your business.
Oh, this is awesome. It's so awesome. So Karen, what are the biggest mistakes that people make on social?
The biggest mistakes that people make on social is they make it about them, right? Mm-hmm. They tell us about their products and their services and why they're so great. Nobody really cares about you, even on your LinkedIn profile, where people think it's like a digital resume, right? Nobody cares about you. Mm-hmm. They care about what you can do for them. So the first mistake people make is they write their profile too much about themselves. An example that I use is, you could be a great financial planner, but if you tell me you're a great financial planner, you're just like everyone else. But if you say, I'm a financial planner and I help women over 50 create enough wealth to retire at 60, now you're telling me about you, but you're making it about me. And now I want to know more. Right. So tell me about you, but make it about me. And then the other mistake that people make is they look at it as their digital resume. And your resume is all about who you used to be, right?
Right.
Your LinkedIn profile should be about the person you're becoming. You like kind of like dress for the job you want. You want to write your profile like you are Cammie that has achieved all of her 12 months goals already. And then reverse engineer your profile and your strategy to make that happen. You don't want to write your profile like, you know, the person that knows Word and Excel. You want to write your profile like you're that multiple six-figure or seven-figure business owner that has built in, you know, that, and then reverse engineer it to make that happen.
Right, right. Very good. Very good. This is also awesome. And I could keep just asking all kinds of questions around this. So thank you for your wisdom today. Where can people learn more about your business?
Well, you can check out my business at KarenYankovich.com. And we do weekly LinkedIn masterclasses at KarenYankovich.com/masterclass that gets you, and that we dive deeper into all the things we talked about today.
Oh, awesome.
And my podcast, Good Girls Get Rich.
Right. And the final question I always close with are, what three pearls of wisdom would you like to leave with our audience today?
Yeah. So I think the first one is, we're in unprecedented times, but if you can be the person that can find the time to build the powerful relationships now that can carry you through this, you're going to not just survive this time, but you're going to thrive. So I think that that's the most important thing. I mean, and then, you know, the next one is, it doesn't have to be complicated, and I don't want it to be complicated. This is simple stuff. It's just a matter of having a process in place. And then the last piece of it is, do this stuff like brushing your teeth, you know, like you do it every day. Like, don't, if the client getting stuff and the relationship building stuff is where the money is in your business. So don't skip this piece, even if it's 20 minutes, 10 minutes a day, right? Go on to your LinkedIn account, connect with people, see who's messaging you there. When you keep the work is up front, but when you've done that work up front, just be consistent with keeping moving the ball forward, and you'll be calling me up in a couple months saying how you can't believe how simple this was.
That's awesome. That's so awesome. Well, Karen, I'm so glad we have been able to meet and be connected, and I look forward to collaborating with you in the future.
Me too, Cammie. Thanks so much for having me here.
I hope you liked this episode of Extraordinary Women Radio. If you did, please share this podcast with your own special tribe of women and help spread the love, the dreams, and the inspiration. Are you ready to raise up your voice, your visibility, and your business? I invite you to join the conversation in my Facebook group, Extraordinary Women Connect. This group brings together changemaker women entrepreneurs who want to elevate their business for impact. It is a place for powerful connections and collaborations. It is a place to be inspired, uplifted, and fired up for action. To learn more about my work that helps women entrepreneurs make heartfelt connections to mindful growth strategies, visit my website at CammieGellner.com. Till next time, my friend, listen to your heart, follow your dreams, and be you.